Okay, we better go ahead and get started. If we're going to finish on time, we have to start on time, right? So we'll begin this afternoon, and let's begin by having a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to spend time talking about the work that you've given us to do as your people. And I just pray that your spirit will be with us and guide in this presentation this afternoon, that it will be beneficial to those who have come. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, good afternoon. I'm Benny Moore. I'm one of the managers for the Share Him program, work with Elder Falkenberg, and have for the last almost 6 years. Before that, I had the opportunity to work in public evangelism with Elder Kenneth Cox for about 9 years, and that was my beginning in ministry, actually. Since that time, I've been a conference administrator for many years, and now have the opportunity to focus all of my time and attention on evangelism and making evangelism work both internationally and here at home. So this afternoon, we want to talk about one of the greatest problems that we have found as we brought people back home from an international thrilling experience. And sometimes they had hundreds, sometimes they had thousands of people in attendance at their audience, and they come back home and they want to preach, and they're ready to preach. The only problem is they don't have a place to preach, because we have found that empty pews don't respond too well to the gospel. And this is a problem that we found. We were able to find people who were willing to be speakers. We were able to get those people to come to a weekend boot camp, and we were able to train them and how to speak, but they went back home and there was no place to speak, or there was nobody to speak to if they had a place to speak. We've suggested meetings in all type of places, different rooms in the church, in addition to, of course, the sanctuary is a possibility, but also we can go to public places, like I know one person did meetings in Denny's restaurant. There are rooms in hotels, sometimes there's a storefront. There are different kinds of recreation halls, mobile home parks. There's all kinds of different places, even in a tent, but not in Phoenix in August. But we can do all types of things, but we still have to have people when we get there if we're going to have results. So in our several years of attempting to find the answer to how to effectively do evangelism in North America, we have just learned more what not to do than we have what to do. And we've just kept backing up and trying other approaches. And we learned that our biggest challenge is that our members, largely in North America, do not have meaningful relationships with people who are not members. And they have not been developing relationships so that they have people who are ready to come when they're ready to preach. And this is a challenge. So, again, we didn't have any problem finding the speakers. We have already taken somewhere over 7,000 speakers to preach internationally, and those people are willing and anxious to preach again. So having speakers is not the problem. The problem is having the audience to listen. And one of the things that we learned as we studied about this, we found that God will never ask us to do something without providing what is necessary to make that something successful. Sister White tells us that God puts us in difficult places so that we can learn to trust Him and not ourselves. So even when we face difficulties, then we need to realize that there's something for us to learn in there, and that God is ultimately going to bring success. Sister White says over and over again, when I did a study on angels, and I found over and over again, it says the angels are waiting, the angels are waiting, the angels are waiting. Well, what are they waiting for? Are they waiting for things to get bad down here? Are they waiting for the economy to turn sour? What are they waiting for? She says they are waiting for us, because their work, they have been assigned the responsibility of assisting us in soul winning. If we don't do a soul winning, then they're just sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. They're waiting for us. So we're not alone in this work when we go out to do it. So how can we begin to develop meaningful relationships with non-members? Several things that I've run across. fairly recently, and it's become our focus of attention with ShareHim as we are training evangelism teams in churches, and as we're preparing right now tools to help our pastors be able to train their teams. We're finding that there are some things that are maybe rather unique. Some are rather simple. They're so simple that you wonder, well, why in the world didn't we think about that sooner? But there are things that can work. I want to skip that one and go to Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia, because Jeremiah's not here. But let's go to Kuna, Idaho. And there we're going to talk about teleconference and newspaper advertising and how someone pulled that together to make it work. This is a video clip from the North Pacific Union. It's one of their Spotlight on Mission programs, and when I saw it, I was thrilled because why didn't we think of this sooner? See what you think.
We're not going to finish the work inside the four walls of our church.
Imagine yourself trying to find truth. When you're going from church to church, you try church A, you try church B, you're going up the steps to church C. You don't know the people there. You don't know what they teach, what they believe. You have no relationship built up with anyone there. It's scary. It's intimidating. You don't know how you're going to be received. Are you dressed right? Did you bring the right version of the Bible? Do you have a Bible? All of these things are barriers to people coming into our building.
Welcome to the Kuna, Idaho Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm Eileen Andrews Fox, and I've been a member here for 20 years. One of the things that we have found the most difficult to do in our community is to get people in our door, and we wanted to do this in a unique way.
They're out there, we're in here. Somehow we've got to get the news, the message that we have, out to the people. We're missing 98% of the population. So we've got to figure out ways how to break through that barrier and connect with people and dialogue with them outside the walls of our church.
It's not easy because we live so far scattered in the valley. My pastor came up with the idea to advertise a telephone number for a teleconference on a topic that would be of immediate interest to many people, called the Community Conversations Live.
You just take out a simple little ad in paper every month. We did it every fourth Tuesday of the month. And you advertise the time, the phone number to call, the access code, and your topic.
We entertain questions and had a discussion.
It is a great way to connect outside the walls of your church and allow people to get to know you from the safety of their own home. They don't have to feel on the spot. They don't have to overcome that huge psychological barrier. I'd like you to meet Leah. She's one of our regular attenders now. Loves our message.
I grew up in a non-denominational church, and I stopped going probably when I was, I'd say, 19 years old. I stopped going for a number of reasons, but I just felt really judged in a church and didn't really want to really have anything to do with it. And I had always been a Christian, you know, on my own, but I just figured, who needs church, you know? It's, you know, full of people that are hypocrites, and I just don't want anything to do with it. And but then my son was invited by one of his good friends' dad to come to his new church and play electric guitar for their band. And so my son jumped all over that and started going, and every Sunday we'd drop him off and we would go back home. And I just was like, I can't do this. And I'm like, this is just, you know, yeah, I may have been burned by church before, but, you know, my son is showing interest in God and I need to support that.
And she started calling in on the conferences.
I could just, you know, mute it or put it on speakerphone, not have to worry about my children coming up to me and saying, Mom, or crying or whining, and you have to tell them, knock it off.
Her husband wasn't even a Christian. It was never naive enough to say that there was never a God, right? And hadn't sought him out and had lots of excuses why not to.
We had just started going to a new non-denominational church because my son was involved in that with music.
I would eavesdrop on the speakerphone, and we didn't even have multi. I think there was one time that I even picked up the second line and listened in on it. And you forget sometimes they can't hear you, so you're trying to be quiet in the house. But more so, we wanted to be quiet in the house so that we could hear the kids. But it was really, really easy. You could cook dinner, you could clean the house, you can actually could watch TV if you wanted to, still listen to it. And it was really, really neat. And as you build a friendship, if you build a relationship, then when you invite them to the live meeting, you have something to go on, and you might just be willing to take a chance because they've gotten to know you in this safer environment.
I think it's so funny how the Seventh Adventists seem to have it really, really nailed as far as their beliefs.
I believed what they taught, and I, you know, loved Pastor Randy, and just, you know, loved them for a number of reasons, just because, you know, they knew more about God's Word, and just were more adamant about just, you know, following God's Word, and that was very important to me, and so I, my heart was in Seventh-day Adventist Church.
There's all these questions, Marty, that I had that kept me on that fence, and finally one day driving down the road, I just stopped fooling myself and just asked God to accept me, and then I did right down the freeway, driving down the road. So it wasn't very flashy or memorable, but I pretty much had no more excuses.
He was a new Christian and didn't really want to go to church, and so that was hard as well, because I felt like I would drag him along, and I just didn't want to do that.
We had Bible studies with her.
But he was all over that. He was, yeah, that's great.
Pastor Randy actually was conducting his Bible studies in our house.
He asked if he could come into our home and maybe a few other people and do a Bible study once a week.
So we really felt blessed to have him here with his knowledge and wisdom, and really, you know, had some great people show up that were friends with all of them still, and that's what really drew us into that church even more.
We were having Bible studies with Rob and Leah Loughley, and as we progressed through the Bible studies, we came to the Sabbath, and it was clear that they understood the Sabbath and were, had a knowledge of the Sabbath and were convicted of the Sabbath, but they were not attending Sabbath services because they were attending Sunday services where their son Gage was involved and enthusiastic with the program of the Sunday church. And Leah asked us to pray for the situation because she felt really conflicted of how to unite their family in attending church on Sabbath when Gage was so involved in the Sunday church. And so we prayed about it, and the next time we met at Bible study, she had this story to tell us that the pastor of the church had just said that he was done. He didn't want to be a pastor anymore, and there was the only solution the pastor saw was to completely disband the church and close the doors. So in 1 week, she went from having this conflict of how is she going to keep her family united in a church to there being no church to go to at all. And ever since then, they have been very faithful in their Sabbath attendance.
Everything's her home place, and even now, you know, even as much as I learned it, just every time you do a Bible study or something like that, just everything makes more sense. And usually, in old Bible studies, and, you know, you talk to people, you always have these questions that are just so confusing. But once you learn God's character and you read His Word, it just all starts to make sense. It's not that difficult. And then when you try to explain to your friends, and they're so confused, I'm like, how are you so confused? I don't understand that. And you're just, they're just not open to, you know, His character. If you know God's character, you can figure out what He's telling you in His Word. You know, if people can read His Word, if you're not realizing who is saying it, then it's not going to make any sense to you. But if you realize God's character and what He means when He's saying it, it just clicks, and everything started to fall in place. And the Bible became not just bits and pieces here and there, but a whole timeline, and everything just flowed all the way through it until, you know, until prophecy, until the end, until it's happening now. It just seems so much sense. I don't know how it was for my wife, but she had been a Christian for so long, and I'm a newbie. It's, I look at it going, how can people be duped?
We have a number of people coming as a result of that teleconference outreach and the meetings that followed. And it's really fun to be interacting more with our community than we've ever been able to do before.
I'm just so thankful now to have a support group.
This is how you build friendships, and they begin to see that who you are, and that you love Jesus, you're into the Bible, but you're not under pressure. And all your follow-up information is online, and they can go there, leave a blog, leave a comment, a question, something they didn't get an answer on the teleconference, but it encourages and stimulates talk. Every one of our new people is involved in a small group ministry. They're involved, they're there on Sabbath, they're in my pastor's Bible class, and we're really encouraged to establish those relationships. And it's wonderful. It's not only energizing for them, but it's energizing for the church.
Now we have children in our Sabbath school, and so our Sabbath schools have grown so much, and we are so blessed.
This is just one way to connect right where they are.
This has been Northwest Spotlight on the Mission.
Isn't that amazing? What can happen? Have a teleconference? Invite people, advertise it in the newspaper on some topic that's of interest, and you've got an audience. Anybody can do it. There's nothing to, no fear to keep them out of this. And then once they get to know you, well, they'll come to church. So I thought that was really good. Higher quality, this is a YouTube type presentation that I'm having. But there's the only one that's available right now. There will be, within about another week or 10 days, there will be a high-quality version of this available. So just contact the North Pacific Union if you'd like to show this to your church. If you want to know how to do what they did, contact the Idaho Conference, and we can get in touch with Pastor Maxwell, and I'm sure they'll be glad to share what they've done and what they've used.
Can you give us the contact number for the Pacific Union?
North Pacific? I could look in my iPhone and get it, but I tell you what, I was wanting to pull something together to have for you today. I'll try to do it later today, first thing in the morning, and have it at the Share Him booth over in the 400 row, is right at the very beginning. So come by the Share Him booth, and by tomorrow I'll try to have that sheet there with all of the email addresses or phone numbers. Okay, the Idaho Conference number we can give you right now. 208-375-7524. That's the Idaho Conference where this church is located. Pastor Maxwell. The Kuna, K-U-N-A, Idaho. Pastor Randy Maxwell. The North Pacific Union number, Dwayne? They've only changed it. It's 360 is the area code.
816-1401.
No, that's the one before they moved into the new office.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's
360-857-7000. Okay, 360-857-7000. That's the North Pacific Union. That's where you would get a copy of this video. A Spotlight on Mission on Kuna, Idaho. Yes.
I have a question. I'm not really clear on what they did. Was it just one teleconference, or did they have?
No, they did this monthly. They did it, I think he said, what, the third Tuesday of every month? So, yeah, I think they did it on a monthly basis. But you could get in touch with them, and they can give you the details of how they did it. This is another thing that's happened. In the Paradise, California Church, in the Northern California Conference, they did something this spring that I'm not aware of having happened before, but Pastor Ben Maxson is the pastor there of that church. And what they did is for four weekends, three nights on each weekend, for four weekends, in other words, for a total of 12 nights, they advertised, and with support from the church and community, they did these 12 meetings about Jesus. They were based on Jesus and the characteristics of Jesus. And every meeting, it was a one-hour meeting from 7 to 8. It included a dramatic presentation and two different elements of that, a dramatic presentation, and then the storyteller sermons. Storyteller was the name of the series. So they had dramatic presentations of people acting out scenes from Jesus' life. And then they had a modern scene, and then they had the sermon, which was based on that particular story that had been told by the storyteller that night. And then a follow-up series. These are two of the advertising pieces that they used. No, that's the same one, twice. But that's one of the brochures, the bulletin that they had. Here's another, those were posters. Here's a big wide one. The storyteller, come to know Jesus, the greatest storyteller of all time. Come and hear an unbelievable story told by Jesus. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights, February 6th to March 1, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And the Adventist Church information and phone number. So they started out with dramatic presentations. Here's some information. On the first night, they had a biblical presentation, a guest at a wedding who describes what a Jewish wedding was like. So this was what they were acting out. 5 days long, the bridegroom picks up the bride at sunset and takes her to the ceremony. Guests pin precious possessions to the bride. There's much food, drink, and dancing. The wedding at Cana was like no other he had ever attended. So they act out that story of Jesus attending the wedding feast. Then after that, they did a modern presentation. A woman who's in a marriage relationship that started out amazingly but has become stale and sad. She wishes that God could bless her marriage and turn it around. So that was acted out as well. Then there was the sermon. And this is the schedule of what they covered on those 12 nights. So on the first night, the miracle worker. Then Jesus the provider. Jesus the wonder worker. Jesus the healer. Jesus the life giver. Jesus the forgiver. Jesus the victor, Jesus the friend, Jesus the savior, Jesus the sin bearer, Jesus the risen Lord, and Jesus the coming king. 12 nights. Here's the schedule. And then you have the titles of the presentations and the emphasis that night, the story from the Bible, the key points that they brought out. So this is all very, very well documented. These are pictures. These are some of the slides that were used in the PowerPoint presentation that went along with the pastor's presentation. He did it in a casual setting. He did it dressed in jeans and a nice sports shirt, sitting on a stool. That's the way the presentations were done. So very, very powerful. They had decision cards that they used at the end of the presentations at night, and they asked people to have a chance to give their life to the Lord, to ask for a visit. Pastoral visit. So there were several things. And then they followed this series up with one time a week for several weeks, they did a discipleship seminar. When I talked to Elder Maxson, he told me that it looks like they're going to have about 10 baptisms just from this series without going on further with these people into a regular evangelistic series, a doctrinal series. So if what they found out is they did research on Paradise, they found out that 90% of the people were unchurched. So there's a tremendous challenge to reach people. And they found that a lot of their members were anti-public evangelism, God forbid. But they were people that had that challenge. And so they weren't really wanting to do anything. They felt comfortable with this. He had the support of all of the other pastors in town. He even was very brave. They, on their decision card, a person could ask for a visit by a pastor, and they could write in the name of the pastor or the name of the church. And they got the other pastors to agree, we will seriously deal with these people and their interest in God. So, if you don't have the contacts, which many of us don't, with the people in our communities, we've got to do something first to gain their confidence, to get to know them as individuals. Now we have something else that's happened. And Jeremiah, are you ready? We have something else that's happened that Cherham has been working on as we have tried to work with our evangelism teams in our churches to help them know what to do so that our speakers would be able to have an audience to speak to. And there are several things that we've done, and I'm going to ask Jeremiah Weeks, who is one of our directors with Cherham, he's just back from Nicaragua, I think is where you were, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. And before that, Mauritius. And we won't talk about all the places that we've been. But Jeremiah, let's just take a minute and make a change here. And you want to?
I have a question also.
I have a question.
Yeah, okay, sure.
For the Adventist pastors, you know, they're asking if they'd like to have a pastor visit them.
Oh, no, they could ask for a pastor of any church in town. Like I said, when 90% of the people are non-churched, the other churches were very interested and very supportive of what we were doing to bring people to the Lord. That's something that we're all interested in. And so, again, in order to begin to reach into the communities, this was just something they did. So we'll give you information on that sheet about how to get in touch with Elder Maxson, and I'm sure that he'll be happy to share what they did and how they did it so that we could take and do something similar. Yes, huh? Yes, that's right.
But weren't they worried, the Adventist pastors, weren't they worried that maybe these other denominational pastors could easily introduce their doctrine?
I'm sure that was a concern, and I don't know what their actual experience with this was. That's something we could ask. This was something they decided to do on a trial basis. Again, knowing that most of these people didn't have any background with any church. And the 10 people that they have are people that are going to be baptized into the Adventist church.
Right. I'm just trying to understand, like just because they didn't have a background with the church, I'm trying to see how you're tying that into introducing them to another pastor.
They didn't introduce them to any other pastors. They just allowed them on that decision card if they wanted to be, you know, visited by a Baptist pastor or something, they could write that down.
Okay.
So it was just on the decision card, and it wasn't. Okay. Jeremiah, we'll need to change some mics here. There's only three. Let's see. Ooh, that's a little bit snug. All right. Can you clip that or whatever it needs? Thanks. All right. Great. Well, good afternoon. Good to be with you. My name is Jeremiah Weeks. I work with Benny and a team of several other men and women with Share Him Global Evangelism, formerly known as, and we're based out of Charlotte, part of the Carolina Conference. And so naturally, as Benny's been telling you, one of the things that we do, as you may have heard, is on the international side, we take people, mostly lay people, all over the world to be involved in a full series of evangelistic meetings. It's a fast-paced training, 2.5 weeks, it's pretty intense. But the goal is not just that person in that other part of the world will be excited about what they did there, but that they will learn something, catch a spark, and bring it home. The other side of what we do is directly focused on the homeland. That is to say, North America, Western Europe, a few other areas. And it is directly focused on helping teams within local churches develop an systematic, ongoing soul-winning program. Now, often that team is one person, but that's okay. If the Lord places it on your heart, you're not responsible for somebody else, but you are responsible for what the Lord has called you to do. So the question so often is, I'm excited about soul-winning. I'm excited about evangelism. I'm ready to go. And in fact, many say, I'm ready to preach. Or I've been with Share Him internationally somewhere, and what a thrill it was, preach that series of meetings. I want to come home. I'm ready to preach here. That's great. That's great. But if any of you, maybe any of you have ever painted a car or been involved with painting a car, a few have. I had the privilege or the challenge of getting to do that some years back. And the part you see, the exciting part, that bright color, that's only about 3% of the work when it comes to painting a car. Most of the work is before you ever get to that point. And it's what people see looks exciting, but most of the work goes into what people didn't necessarily see. And in soul winning, so often, particularly in North America, we have focused on one metric, one measure by which we can see whether we're having success in evangelism. And what is that? Numbers of what? Baptisms. That's right. And that's the number by which we judge, was it successful or not? We spent this much money, we had this many baptisms. Do the math.
But what we've realized is soul winning is so much more than merely planning public evangelistic meetings. Now, that's an important part, of course. But let me tell it to you this way. Essentially, we see two common paths by which people come to know the Lord and be part of a church family. One is sort of the traditional Adventist evangelism path, which I like to call message first. And it is, we send out a lot of flyers, we posted ads, maybe we advertise on the radio or TV. People come, they hear a presentation, they feel the Lord speaking to them, and 6 weeks later, perhaps, or 2 months later, what do you know? They've made a decision, they've been baptized, they're a member of a local church, and a lot of people don't even know their name. Now, some of those people stay, some of them don't. That's message side. The other side is, or message first. The other side I would call relationship first, or friendship first. This is where, for example, I've known this guy for years, and he's always been a good friend, and he's always been encouraging me. Sometimes he'll talk about God, and I never really paid much attention, but then something in my life changed. Who knows what it is, but there are always times when the door opens a bit. Something in my life changed, and suddenly what he was saying made a lot of sense, and I came to church with him, and I met these people, and I just fell in love with them. And they're just great folks, and I think maybe I want to be a member here. So this is kind of relationship first. But what we've seen is both can work. I'm not here to tell you that only one or the other can work, because they both can work. But as soon as someone comes from one direction, you must quickly develop the other side. If they come message first, and this we've known for a long time, you have to quickly develop relationship. And there are many ideas and programs and methods out there on how to do that, to quickly integrate this person into a family of believers. Family, not just, hi, saw you on Sabbath morning, I'll see you next Sabbath morning, good to see you. Now, family where we actually know each other, care about each other, maybe have been to each other's homes, eaten meals together. We actually know each other's concerns and problems and situation. So if you have one, you got to quickly develop the other. If someone comes relationship first, and we saw this in our local church in Virginia, our local church has about, I'd say 35 active members, about 50 members on the books. And recently we held an evangelistic sowing event. Okay, it wasn't a doctrinal presentation, but it was a sowing event, a get-to-know-you event. A few people, we actually had several who attended. Two of those who attended, a lady and her daughter, started attending services. They started coming to other church events. And it wasn't long before they said, you know what, we've just really fallen in love with you people here, and we can see the love of Christ shining through you, and we want to join this church. Well, they didn't yet know what that meant. They didn't know about the 2300-day prophecy. They didn't know about Daniel chapter 2. They didn't know about really even the reasons for why we keep Saturday instead of Sunday. But they knew that they had found a group of people who loved them, cared about them, and they wanted to join. Well, that's great, but they need message. They need to make a decision based on the truth as presented in the Word of God. So whichever side someone comes from, the other side must be quickly developed. And both paths can work. So how might, in a practical way, we implement this? And this is what we, with Share Him, are doing right now in 30 of the conferences in the North American Division, is helping teams of lay people within their local church, with the guidance of their pastor, develop an ongoing, systematic, intentional, creative, soul-winning program. Ongoing because it's not just based on events. And too often we've focused our evangelistic energies on events only. Every 3 years we hold evangelism in this church, and every 3 years we get geared up and we spend a lot of money and we do something. oh, and then finally we can relax. That was a lot of work. Maybe 3 years later we'll do it again. We'll see. But what we find, first of all, is that approach can't work. Well, it can work to some degree, but it's not ideal because people are often coming to that decision point. The door is open. Something's changed in their life. Maybe death of a loved one. Maybe a change in a marriage. Maybe a new job, new location, whatever it is. The door is open. They're ready to listen. But we don't know when that time's coming, and it probably doesn't come just once every 3 years for everybody. It comes at various times, so we recommend holding an evangelistic reaping event. A reaping event being where we present biblical truth as found in Scripture and call for decision based on that truth. We recommend a local church hold 2 a year. 2 evangelistic reaping events a year. You say, oh, that'd be crazy expensive. How could we do that? We're not talking about a full-blown evangelistic campaign that people may be experienced with. Talking about something that is sized and budgeted to be sustainable on this twice a year schedule. Don't hold it in a big room if you only expect 5 people to come. Hold it in a room that feels comfortable with 5. Maybe a Sabbath school classroom. Maybe some other place. Recently a dentist held a campaign in a room in his office and he invited his patients. Hey, you know, I'm not just a dentist. I love the Lord too, and I'm going to be sharing some things from the Bible. Invite you to come. It could even be in a home. We've had many events that have been held successfully in homes. So events that are sized to and budgeted to fit to be sustainable in a twice a year format. We don't recommend that the conference pour a lot of money into these kinds of events because we don't want the local church and the local team looking to the conference to tell them when it's time for evangelism. Twice a year, plan on it. If you don't feel ready, guess what? You're never gonna feel ready. Just go for it. Just do something. Can't tell you what'll happen unless you're doing nothing. And we have a pretty good idea. Just do something and learn from the experience for next time. So, twice a year, soul-winning events. Let me show you just really quickly how this might look in a calendar format. Okay, I'm gonna show you all of it at once here. Let's see. What we've done is we sort of drawn the calendar out. You're seeing a whole year at once here. And those little green dots along the way in March and September, those are evangelistic reaping events twice a year, sized to fit. Now, who's going to come? And this has been the question in so many places. Great, we've got somebody excited, ready to preach, because we've seen with the evangelistic materials available, using, for example, the Share Him sermons, which we provide at no cost for those in conferences that we're partnering with who have a specific event and a specific date, or with New Beginning sermons, or with any other sermons. Doesn't matter what sermons you use, mainly doing something. Somebody says, okay, well, we've seen that with this material, we've got somebody ready to present, we're ready to do it, but who's going to come? And we've been to conferences where they said, you know, we're getting discouraged. We've done two of these in our church. You know, we didn't have really anybody come. Well, the reaping event is the exciting part. It's that last glossy coat of paint. It is thrilling, and it's thrilling to see the decisions that are made. But it's the work that comes before that's the majority of the work. And I would like to look at that yellow band. Notice the yellow band doesn't have any breaks in it. What is that? Relationship development. Connecting with people. Actually getting to know people. And here's a systematic method we recommend. Why systematic? Well, think about your job. In your job, you're expected to get certain tasks done, to do it on a schedule, to have a plan. And too often in our soul winning, we do just the opposite. We say, well, maybe this person they smiled at me and I told them I'm an Adventist and maybe 3 years from now they'll meet another Adventist who'll smile at them and they'll remember that smile and maybe the Holy Spirit will somehow mix it all up and it'll turn out great. The truth is the Lord gives us a mind and the ability to plan for a reason and we can be systematic about our relationship building. Not because we're trying to fool people or trick them into anything, but because we truly care about them, if we are Christians, we associate ourselves with Christ, which means what matters to Christ matters to me. And what matters most to Christ? It's in that most famous verse in Scripture. God loved the world so much, he sent his only son. Jesus was willing to come to this earth for people. So if people matter that much to God, how much should they matter to me? So how might this be approached? We recommend making a list, a real list, not just thinking about it, write it down. Write down, well, this list isn't quite it yet. Write down for yourself a list. Non-Adventists I know. I know better than just their name. I know a little about them, or I'll see them on some kind of regular basis. And they live in my general area. Now, they may be relatives, they may be friends, neighbors, work colleagues, whatever it is. And then categorize up in that list five or six. Toward the top, we'll call them your top-tier interests. These are people who you know that you have some relatively close connection with. A pastor once said to me, if you want to know who these people are, write down who would come to your funeral. Figure out who would come to your funeral. Those are people you obviously have some rapport with. And if you don't have anybody on there, pray the Lord will send people to come to your funeral. So, and then ask yourself, who do you want to tell them about God? Do you want it to be you, or do you want it to be me or the pastor when they're preaching at your funeral? So take those five or six. This is your prayer list, your interest list, your target list, whatever it is. Write them down. Stick them by the bathroom mirror. First, you commit daily to pray for these people. And don't just pray that, oh, Lord, bless Jim, help him have a great day. No, pray, Lord, my prayer is that Jim will be saved. And if there's any way today that I can be part of that process, let me see how. And let me not be afraid. And let me boldly share what I feel I need to share with him. So these are those five or six. Praying daily for them, okay? But not just praying for them. Finding ways to connect with them. Right beside their name, how you know them. What activity have you done together? What way are you a friend of this person? Well, let's see, he's my next door neighbor. That might go on one line. And on the next line, sometimes we talk about gardening. That's about it, okay. Well, you know Jim, because he's your neighbor, you talk about gardening. Now, here's the important part. And this is what this yellow band represents that doesn't stop, doesn't break. Consider how you can thicken the relationship by getting to know Jim in new ways, doing new activities with Jim, or introducing Jim to others in your church family and allowing him to interact with them. This is kind of like dating. And when I talk to college students about this, I say, you already know how to do this. You just focus it on one person. If you're gonna get to know somebody, what do? You don't just talk on the phone. You don't just say hi once a week. You do stuff with them. You come up with excuses to spend time with them. And you talk to Jim, and you know that Jim's into fishing. Are you into fishing? Maybe not so much. But hey, Jim's offered maybe, or you could ask him, hey, sometime you want to show me a little bit more about bass fishing? Yeah, come with me sometime. Or maybe you're into bass fishing, Jim's not, vice versa. Connect in a new way is what I'm saying. And when you've connected that new way, make a new line on your list. Jim, how do we know each other? We're into fishing. Maybe I'm not so into fishing, but I know a guy at my church who is. Guess what? Here's an opportunity. You can thicken this web of relationship by saying, hey, you like to fish, right? Well, this guy at my church and I, we're gonna go out and do some fishing. I don't know much about it, but we wonder if you go with us sometime. Yeah, sure, whatever it is. Others have talked to me about playing golf. When business, everybody in business knows you don't play golf because you like to play golf, you play golf to do business. And when your top business is soul winning, sharing Jesus with others, then if you go play golf, it's a golf ministry. Not because you love golf or you love to fish or any of that stuff. It's a ministry. He's into golf. I play a little bit sometimes. It's an opportunity. Adding lines to this list. How do you know him? Well, first, he was just my neighbor. And then we talked about gardening together. Now, we've been fishing together. And we played golf. And another guy from my church now knows him because we went fishing together. Guess what's on his list now? Jim. How do you know him? Fishing. Okay? So intentional and systematic thickening of this web of relationship. Because now what happens is Jim starts to know you in new ways. And this time you spend with him is an opportunity to get to know him. Not just talk about fishing. Talk about him. Talk about you. Talk about family. Whatever it is. Talk about the things that matter to you. Talk about your job. You're getting to know him better, and he's seeing who you are. He's seeing who you and your local church are, and he's beginning to trust you. Now, does that mean, okay, so 6 months from now, we're holding the next reaping meeting, so I'm going to invite Jim, right? And boy, I hope he comes, because for 3 months, we've been really trying to get to know each other. Guess what? This relationship-first evangelism isn't nearly as fast in most cases as the kind of evangelism we are used to. We expect results within 3 months. We started here, and 3 months later, whoo, we better have a bunch. Talk about 3 years. Let's talk about 10 years. Let's talk about more. This is a thing that takes time. Because you don't know when that door is going to open for Jim. You don't know when maybe something's going to change. And he's going to know that you and those people who are connecting with him care about him. You've talked about the Lord because it's a natural part of who you are. You didn't save it for some special switch on the religion moment and then switch it back off and go back to fishing. It's just a natural part of who you are. So this is ongoing. Now, one recommendation, share this on a weekly basis if you can. A Sabbath school is a great place to do this. And I want to thank Dwayne McKee for a great idea with this one. When the Sabbath school meets, when you break up for your classes, take 3, 4, 5 minutes. Share around the circle. How is your soul-winning initiative going this week? Well, Jim and I went fishing. Oh, great. Did you have a chance to get to know him better? Yeah, I sure did. Learned that he's got 2 kids. They live in California. And he worries about them. Who doesn't, right? Great. Next person shares. Next person shares. 2 things happen with this. First, those in the circle who aren't involved and said, I don't want to be involved in your evangelism team. Sounds like a lot of work. They see, oh, is that what you're talking about? That's not so bad. I could do that. I see what you're talking about. So it helps to grow the team. Second thing is it helps the team to see progress. Too often we measure progress, as we said, with only one metric, and it's baptism. But the truth is, progress in soul winning is all along the way. Progress is, I went fishing with Jim, I got to know him better. I played golf with Jim. Phil came, and we played golf with Jim. Got to know him better. That's progress. And your team will be encouraged as you're able to see this progress all along the way. Now, last piece. Oh, and this is just a sample of what this list might look like when it's assimilated. Your team can put their lists together. You notice this is sorted by interest name on the left-hand side. Sorted by team member. This is just a sample list from our home church. And how we know these various people on the right-hand side. Now here we've resorted the list by interest name. And notice, for some of the interest, let's see, right here, for some of the interest, there are multiple team member names by that interest. Why is that? Because we got to know that person. Several of us got to know that person, and so he's on several of our lists. This is part of this process of developing that web of relationship. Now, one more part, and that is, these are the purple segments here. And this is what we would typically call evangelistic sowing. Think cooking school and stop smoking class. This is something where we invite the public, but we also invite who? The people on the interest list. Maybe they come, maybe they don't. Hey, don't worry, there's another one coming. So, these activities, and there's 1,000 of them you can do, these activities are a chance to get more people onto your list, to start connecting with people who weren't neighbors. Maybe they live across town, and this is the only way you might have gotten to know them. Our local church in Virginia recently concluded our second weight loss program. We did a weight loss program based on the Biggest Loser television show. Had a great time with it. We tried to design a program that would be easy to invite people to. Wanted it to be something you could easily invite a friend to. The first year we did it, we didn't have a big weight loss focus. It was just part of it. But we found a lot of people came out interested in the weight loss component. So the second year, what did we do? We didn't just do the exact same thing. We molded it. We modified it. We tweaked it to fit the interest. We had a weight loss focus. Again, church of 35, 40 active members max, 35 guests sometimes coming out. Blew us away. Several of those people we've continued to build relationship with. Some of those people have already said they'll help out next year. And by the way, some of the ones from the first year helped out this year. And several have come and attended services. And we've been at each other's homes a few times. By the way, it's a good metric. That's a good measure to know. Are you really getting to know somebody? Have you been to their home? Have they been to your home? Have you eaten a meal together? So, and by the way, I won't go into all the details of that program now, but one segment of it involved the teams that we had having to exercise together during the week a few times. We made sure that every team had members and non-members on it. It was a great opportunity to call somebody up. Hey, we got to get together and exercise this week. It's what our team has to do. So, do you want to come to my place or I'll go to yours? It was an opportunity. So, by the way, Sharim has we have assembled a sewing resource catalog, which is a 66-page catalog where we've gone to lots of different ministries, talked to them about just one question. What do you have available for evangelistic sewing, for a local church to use? What tools or materials or resources do you have available? How much does it cost? Where do you get it? How do you use it? We've tried to, and this is all good material. It's already out there. We're just trying to bring it into one place. This is available on our website, no charge, under resources. Sharehim.org, under resources. And for every one of these ideas, there's 100 more that your team could do by brainstorming new ideas that would fit your team, your interest, your community, and your church. So these three segments, regular reaping meetings, sowing activities to have new people on the list, and continuous, intentional, systematic relationship building.
Great. Thanks, Jeremiah. We'll do this.
Okay.
Sounds like evangelism is an effort.
Hey, the Lord doesn't just call us to do easy things.
Great. Thanks, Jeremiah.
Who was the great loser? Biggest loser was...
It wasn't Jeremiah.
It was a lady who lost, over the course of the 8-week program that we did, once a week, she lost 36 pounds.
Wow.
And she was our best advertisement. She said, I told everyone in town, those adventists helped me lose 36 pounds.
And now we're going to talk about the evangelistic resources for presenting the message. And I've done a lot of research on this. We're going to be talking about the New Beginnings. We'll be talking about Mark Finley's Revelation of Hope series. We're talking about the Share Him, Truth for Today, Hope for Tomorrow, Young Disciples, Truth for Youth, a couple health presentations that are available, and that's Life at Its Best by The Quiet Hour, and Abundant Living, one that's available, and they're here with that material here at ASI this year. Because you may want to do more than one type of presentation as you get into the message presentation. Now, the New Beginnings program, these are, first of all, in a DVD program. They're available from either Wichita Hills Academy or It Is Written. Now, the PowerPoint programs are available with projected notes. And projected notes means that you have your notes down on your screen that tells you, it's similar to what I'm using right here. You have your notes, which show you what's going on up on the other screen, but you can see what you're supposed to say. Your reference point is here. And then your audience slides are up here. When we do this internationally, your audience slides could be in French, Portuguese, Swahili, you know, Tagalog, all of these, you know, this could be a completely different language what's up there from what you have down here for the notes for you. So there's a real advantage to having projected notes in the fact that when you have the projected notes, you move your notes and it knows when to move those slides. If you're preaching for paper notes, you have to not only keep your pages turned, know where you are in your paper notes, but you have to also remember to change the slides to match what you're talking about. And you can't do that manually as easily and smoothly as this can automatically. But the DVD program is one where you put the DVD in a DVD player, you use the remote control to advance the DVD player, you preach from paper notes. This is what is available from It Is Written and from Wichita Hills. The PowerPoint program, I'm gonna work with Chester Clark, and hopefully we can make the New Beginnings Express, which is available in English and Spanish with English notes. That hopefully can be available from Wichita Hills as well. This is what the New Beginnings sermons look like. The DVDs were given out at ASI last year to everyone free of charge for the DVD programs. But these are just a few of the graphics. These are some of the notes. If you use the DVD Express, then you have the projected notes, and this is what the notes look like. This says you're on slide 1 out of 128. The subject is Daniel 2. You see what the audience is seeing here, and you see what's going to come on the screen the next time you click the button over here. And you know what to say. A dream from the past speaks to the present. Just another one of the note slides. Okay, It Is Written. If you go to It Is Written's website, and that is www.itiswritten.com. These are things I'll give you on that sheet that'll be available. If you go to store, you can find at store, they have a media and arts section. If you go to media and arts and click on that, then you will find that New Beginnings is available there. New Beginnings DVD Evangelism, that's for play in DVD players. They have a New Beginnings PowerPoint seminar. These are the slides that can be embedded or put into a PowerPoint presentation. They don't come in the presentation according to the documentation. And then they have a small group Bible study. I'm not sure exactly what the difference in those are. If you go and click on one of these, then you'll find the price, the ability to order it, and you'll find the information of what that particular product, part of that product, you'll find a description. Now, if you go to the Bible study tab on It Is Written, then you're going to find New Beginnings here. You got the Search for Certainty, Unsealing Daniel's Mysteries, New Beginnings. If you click on New Beginnings, then it'll take you to this screen where you have a chance to actually watch these presentations in English or Spanish, or in other languages you can print the sermons out. If you click on one of the either English or Spanish, then that will take you here and you choose which one of the sermons that you want. And you click on the sermon name and you will come up with a screen like this in a player, and you will actually be able to play by clicking on the play button. You'll be able to play that and you will hear someone preach that sermon. So that's New Beginnings. It's available. This is actually taking you to to BibleInfo.com's website. But you get there from It Is Written. Yes?
Question. If they're used around the world, are they battery operated?
You're doing this on a computer at a website right now. The DVD players are available almost anywhere around the world that you go, and there are battery operated DVD players, but of course you do have to have some way to see that either on a television screen or using a video projector. Now, just so that you're aware, It Is Written also has the oxygen part of their website where you can go to get graphics materials to help you modify the sermons if you're working on a computer with PowerPoint, or to build your own sermons. And this is their part of their oxygen screen.
It was about 2 years ago, my freshman year, and I actually was an Adventist at the time.
Okay.
And so the pastor at our school was doing an evangelistic series for the youth, and he actually asked me. So for some reason, I said yes. And then after a while, I was like, what am I thinking? What am I doing preaching to these people? I don't even know what I'm I don't even know what I'm talking about.
So he asked you to preach this part of this evangelistic series, and you have yet not been baptized here in Arizona.
I haven't.
And so what happened during that?
I learned and accepted the truth.
Amen. You were doing the preaching.
Yes.
And you heard yourself preaching.
Yes.
And you accepted what you heard yourself say. I want to make sure I understood this.
Yes, I was preaching to myself.
And you decided, after hearing this gifted evangelist, you decided to give your heart to the Lord and be baptized.
Yes,
that's great. Well, what did your family think about this? Are they Adventist, your family?
No, actually, my family's Catholic.
Oh, really? What did they think about this change in your life?
In the beginning of the series, I told my mom I was, like, interested. She wasn't exactly supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she'd be like, oh, whatever, you know. So I kept on praying and praying and praying to God, please help my mom, help me convince my mom to let me be baptized. So it was my second time preaching, my last sermon, and she came
to hear me preach.
And by the end of the sermon,
she was there listening to you preaching the sermon. And she, from what I understand, she gave you that green light, didn't she?
She did.
Today, how does your mom feel? In other words, now, what's your mom's feeling about what's happened to you in your life?
I mean,
is she more or less accepted the change in your life?
She's accepted it. She's not that supportive.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, she's
accepted. But she came to the Dominican, mm-hmm. and she let you go to the Dominican. You preached the sermon. Yes. Wonderful.
I just want to make sure, because without the evangelistic series, I wouldn't have learned anything. I wouldn't have accepted God as my Savior.
Thank you.
We have an opportunity to use these materials with our young people, and you can see the difference that it makes. Catholic girl whose mom sent her to an Adventist school because she wasn't comfortable with the schools in the neighborhood.
Right here in Phoenix.
That happened right here. The other place for new beginnings, www.nbdvd. That's newbeginningsdvd.org. This is a website that Ouachita Hills just got last week, I think. And if you go there, you can click on ASI Beginnings. And if you get to that, you choose the language. These are the international languages. The ones that It Is Written have are the Americanized version. These are the international versions, and have more pictures of people of different nationalities and all in the screen. You've got your different languages. One of them will be the English, I believe it's called Caucasian English, and they have a binder. That's the binder with the printed sermons. It's available for $34.99. For $49.99, you can get the New Beginnings English. This is what I'm hoping, that they can also make the New Beginnings Express available to you. I do have those. I'm going to try to work something out so that they can distribute them, so you could also get the ones with the projected notes. They're a shortened version with projected notes, English and Spanish. Donna made that night in Panama when she was there with me preaching. So you can see that laymen can preach, and they can preach very effectively. And the materials are there. If you want the Revelation of Hope series, this is one by Mark Finley, then they're available from the Color Press, $154.95 for that series. That series will bring you also the Advanced Synchronizer version, which lets you build your own sermons. And that comes with this set. The Advanced Synchronizer comes with this. And also a shortened version of these sermons, because, you know, Mark talks pretty fast. So there's a shortened version of these sermons that's available to you for $5 additional from the Southern Union. Elder Ralph Ringer at the Southern Union, they've shortened them so that people can do it and still get through it in a reasonable time. And that's available. Once you have bought the full series, then you can get that series for an additional $5 from the Southern Union. The website to find this, it's www.adventistevangelism.com. It's connected with Color Press and Heart Research. And if you go there, you'll see at the bottom, Revelation of Hope. You can click on that Revelation of Hope link, and there you have a product sheet, handbill, decision card, schedule sheet, sermon outlines. Everything is available right there on that website. And this is an example of the decision card. This is an example of the schedule, giving you the nightly schedule of when to do what. And this is an example of the handbills that are available from Color Press to go with that series. So this is available from Color Press at the AdventistEvangelism.org website. Some examples of some of the slides from the Revelation of Hope you have here. These are some of the notes. They do have the projected notes with them. And then there's the Sharehim sermons are called Truth for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. The Sharehim sermons are available free. No charge for these. The only requirement is that you have to have a site and dates which have been entered on the Sharehim website. You have to be approved by your pastor as a speaker for your conference. And actually, now we have it set up so that a pastor can set the date for your meeting. He can match you as a speaker once you've been approved in the conference. And the pastor can do all of this with a login that's available to him with any conference that's working with Sharehim. As Jeremiah mentioned, that's 30 conferences, 30 or 31 right now, that are signed up and that are working with us. Yes, Kathy? That's right. When you get the Sharehim, you get three things. You get the basic synchronizer program, you get several videos with that, and one is on how to prepare to preach, how to work with an interpreter if you're doing it overseas, one on the gospel and evangelism with Elder Falkenberg. All of those with the synchronizer program. You get the Truth for Today sermons, and you also get the Jesus video. broken into 15 chapters that we use in all of our sites. And that all comes to you free of cost. All we ask you to do is register, and then we ask you to let us know what happened. Give us a report of your activities.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've actually done a share him campaign with your materials, and it's just really easy to use. It's a very, very awesome program.
Right. So this is some information that I just mentioned. Also available on our website, you have decision cards, nightly schedules, share him theme song that you can play with words scrolling across the bottom, information on how to get handbills, four-color sermon handouts in English, Spanish, and French, plus much more that's on the website under resources. Examples of some of the slides from our series. Example of some of the notes. The notes are a little different on ours because there have been words pulled out. Those words are pulled out to give you a chance to put this in your own words. You've got the content there, but you can't just read it and put your audience to sleep. And it works beautifully. We use it overseas. And we didn't really know the side benefit until we saw people doing it. And we found that the ability to pull those words out and causing you to have to form that sentence means that you can say that sentence whatever way you feel is better for your audience or for you as an individual. Young disciples, and I think in the briefcase, we can check here at the end after we're finished because the time is up. But I have brochures, but they also have them available at their website, and that's where you get the Truth for Youth series. They're based on the Share Him sermons, the same topics, on the same night, but they are available, and they're also available with projected notes. And this is an example. It starts usually with a Bible story, goes into a mini sermon. It has songs and other activities, and again, with the projected notes, and so you can see what's available there.
Call me.
Okay.
I said, Peggy, I want you to do me.
We don't have time for that. Saw some of that at the beginning. Anyway, glad you came. I hope that these resources will be something that will be helpful to you. And I'll try to get a sheet together on this so that you'll be able to get these websites and the phone numbers in order to make the contacts to be able to get any of the materials we've talked about here today or to know how to get that video that we showed from Idaho.
Benny, we have a parent here who's young, 13-year-old daughter, preacher first series, and they're in Jaiwa, New Guinea, the other side of New Guinea.
Wonderful.
She did a great job, too.
Yeah.
Oh, she was there with you, Jeremiah. Yeah, this is a life-changing thing for our young people. And thousands of people have now had this experience. But it's available to you, and now that we're working with these conferences in North America, if your conference signs up with us, then very easily you can get the materials by just applying as a speaker, having your pastor get a login, he can create the sites, he can match you as a speaker, and then you get your materials. And then just give us a report of what you do. Thanks, and God bless.
Please take a moment to fill out the